welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress, the people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, testing secure WordPress hosting. Does the marketing match the reality? If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Maciek Palmowski. Maciek is based in Poland and works at Patchstack, one of the companies in the WordPress ecosystem dedicated specifically to security. At Patchstack, Maciek collaborates with other security professionals on industry reports, bug bounty programs, and solutions for agencies, product owners, and hosting companies aiming to secure their client sites. I met up with Maciek at WordCamp Europe, and we discussed his presentation there. It examined the claims of secure hosting made by many WordPress hosting providers. He describes how Patchstack set out to test these claims with real-world penetration testing, using 30 known plugin vulnerabilities across multiple hosts, employing standardized methodologies and validating their results independently. The findings are sobering. The majority of WordPress-specific attacks still get through, and there's a significant gap between the marketing hype and real protection. The conversation starts with Maciek's background and how his journey in the WordPress security space led to a focus on the promises made by hosts. From there, the discussion gets into the research approach, the selection of well-known vulnerabilities, consistent testing across different hosting environments, and the surprising result that even hosts with identical security tooling produce drastically different outcomes, showing it's not just about the tools you use, but how you use them. We talk about the Swiss cheese model of security. Every layer will have holes, so you need multiple overlapping defenses, and honest communication from hosts about their limitations. We also explored whether an industry-wide standard or badge for secure hosting is feasible or even desirable, given how easy it is for strong marketing claims to outpace reality. AI also enters the conversation, increasing both the speed and sophistication of attacks, and making patching and processes even more important, especially as the volume of vulnerabilities continues to rise and the time to exploitation drops. If you're interested in understanding what secure hosting really means, how to ask intelligent questions of providers, and the realities of WordPress security in 2026, this episode is for you. If you'd like to find out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you Maciek Palmowski. I am joined on the podcast by Maciek Palmowski.
Hello, perfect, Maciek. You did great.
For some reason, your name has got into my head. A lot of the people I interview, I struggle with their name, and I continue to struggle. But for some reason, I established many years ago that that was how to say your name. And I think I've done it correctly ever since
then.
Yes,
you did, really.
Yeah, thank you.
You're almost having the typical Polish accent, so you're doing great.
So we are at WordCamp Europe, which is in Krakow, or Krakow, I don't know how.
Krakow.
Krakow. Thank you, that was good. And the reason Maciek is correcting my pronunciation is because Maciek is actually from Poland.
Yes, I am.
Which I suppose means that this is a bit of a, well, it's like a home game to you.
In a way so, but it's also like a bit of a shame because I do like traveling when WordCamps Europe are happening. And, you know, just hopping on the train and going to Krakow, it was like, I mean, it's cool because, yeah, the venue is amazing, everything is great. But still, I'm staying home, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings,
okay.
Yeah.
So Maciek has done or is going to do a presentation at WordCamp EU. Have you done it yet?
I will do it tomorrow.
Okay. And Are you all set? Are you one of these like really prepared people that has all the slides done, or are you last minute?
Everything is ready. I already did one version of it at the Checkout Summit in Palermo. So.
Oh, I see. So you've had a sort of dry run of it elsewhere.
Of course.
Excellent. So the presentation, which is going to be the focus of today's conversation, is called Testing the Promise. Does secure hosting deliver? And I may as well read the blurb because it was a reasonably short one. So it says, secure hosting, in quotes, is everywhere in WordPress. What does it actually protect against? We put this claim to the test with real penetration testing, 30 known vulnerabilities, multiple hosting providers, standardized methodology, validated by independent observers. The findings reveal a critical gap between marketing and reality. WordPress-specific attacks succeed most of the time. That's quite an alarming sentence. This talk shares the complete results and explains why generic security fails. So we'll get into that in a moment, but as with all people, when I'm talking to them about security, I guess it's good to establish who you are and what your credentials are and what you've done and how is it that you get to talk about security with authority. So over to you, really, a little moment to give us your bio and tell us about you.
Okay, so I work at Patchstack, and Patchstack is one of those few companies in WordPress space that are doing a lot in terms of security. We are constantly running this bug bounty for the whole ecosystem. We have quite a few solutions for both clients and hosting companies. And I work there right now. My role is, if I remember, the growth team engineer, something like this. But yeah, I do spend a lot of time working with other security people. So when we're working on all the reports, when we are checking the data, I'm also part of those teams that are working on it. So yeah, I think I know a thing or two about what is happening behind the scene when it comes to WordPress security.
Yeah, thank you. Always good to get that established, though, right at the outset. Patchstack is a company which is not a host, though. I suppose that's important to mention at the beginning. It's a company which is in the security space, very much in the WordPress space, but perhaps more broad than WordPress, I'm not sure, but not a hosting company. But obviously, your presentation focuses its aim on hosting. I guess because that's one of the places where the claim about security is most often made. You know, you'll go to the landing page of hosting company X and you'll see somewhere fairly near the top, secure hosting or something along those lines. And you've decided to examine that in fine detail and look at these 30 vulnerabilities. I guess really just tell us about this test and what it is that you decided to do and some of the items that came out of that.
Okay, so maybe let's start with how it even started, right? Because there was a trigger. At some point we published one report about the state of WordPress security. We tweeted about this. We got a response from none other than Matt Mullenweg, who kind of asked a very interesting question, but isn't hosting companies taking care of this already? And this was kind of at this moment when we thought that we know the answer, that no, they aren't. But to be honest, we didn't have any broader proof about this. We knew how it's working at some hosting companies, but we could say that it was more of an anecdotal evidence that we had. So this was kind of the trigger that made us, okay, let's check this, but not with one partner or two partners, but with more hosting companies. So we did this research twice. First, we just did kind of a beta run because we weren't sure about the results and is it even a good idea to go deeper inside of it. And during our first run, we were already very surprised because the methodology was very simple. We just installed vulnerable plugins and we checked if we would be able to use the vulnerability. Because if the hosting is claiming that we got your back, we're making your website secure, we have this and that, this means that they should protect against it. So it was as simple as that. And when we were doing our first test, we were quite surprised because we saw, if I remember, that 80% of the attacks went through. 80% of the attacks. So our first reaction was, okay, we are doing something wrong. Okay, this was only a few hosting companies, less plugins, but still the results were so surprising for us because we thought that, okay, that the problem exists, but it's not that big of a problem, but it was. So that's why we did the second test, and this is about which my talk will be mostly, when we tested more hosting companies, more plugins, and we saw that the problem still exists. Of course, it was in some cases 70 few percent. So still, it's a huge problem, especially if we are talking about some companies that are literally saying, you don't have to install anything additional when it comes to security on your website. We got your back. They don't. We found a lot of interesting things, but still, the problem exists.
So just diving into that a little bit, when tests like this are done, there's obviously the claim might be leveled, you know, obviously PatchStack would, this kind of maybe benefits PatchStack, if you know what I mean. So let's just sort of clear up what the test involved. So presumably the plugins that you chose are ones where it's publicly known that there's a vulnerability in this component or this particular file or what have you. So is that the case?
Yes,
this is
exactly.
Stuff that we long-standing understanding that there's a problem here.
Yes. We only use the plugins that we had all the proof of concepts, so we know how the vulnerability happened, what was the attack vector. They were all reported through our bug bounty program, because that's why we had the proof of concept. And that's it. It was, like I said, it was as simple as that. We had a really broad mix of all the plugins. How many? It was 30-something of those plugins, if I remember. Different ones. Some were connected with WooCommerce. So, like a very broad selection of them. Different vulnerability types. So, we tried to mix it up as much as possible.
Was the situation for each hosting company the same, though? In other words, was the things that you did in one hosting environment the exact same as you did in another hosting environment? No, you mixed that up a bit as
well.
I mean,
we used all the same plugins. Like, the methodology was always the same. But we got totally different results, even if... And this was one of the most interesting findings, because very often hostings will put a logo of some company that takes care of security. For example, say Cloudflare. And despite using the same stack for security, they got different results.
Interesting.
So it turns out in many cases, it's not about the tools that you are using, it's how you are using them, which was very interesting. And we did everything. We tried to enable every feature, every security features on those hosting to kind of give them a chance to kind of make sure that they are defending the most as they can. And the result in most cases was very simple. They were doing quite well with the generic ones, like uploads, like path traversal, things like this, which are very generic in PHP. But with those WordPress-specific attacks, they just failed miserably.
That's so interesting. The word secure hosting, which you'll see all over the place, it feels a bit like using the word healthy on food. There's no real definition of what healthy is. You know, a company selling chocolate could probably pretend that it's healthy compared to something else.
Like,
you know,
here, healthy chocolate is exactly like, in some cases, secure hosting.
Right. So what do you take from this then? I mean, basically, is your survey saying that whenever you see the word secure hosting, be skeptical?
Yes.
Okay, as simple as that.
It's simple as that. Because one of the things that we were always promoting, security is not a plugin. It's not the one button thing. Security is a process. It's layers. And that's kind of why we, especially after this report, starting kind of using the term Swiss cheese layer model. Because every layer will fail in some way. That's also why you still need all the security solutions that hosting provides, because they do have a lot of interesting solutions against those generic attacks, because they are doing really great when it comes to those generic ones. And that's great because some of the attacks will be already dealt with. So whatever passes to the second layer, it has less work to do because a lot of it was already stopped at the first layer. The second layer should be something more WordPress specific that understands what is installed. And with this, it can catch also a lot of it. But still, you have to be prepared that, because again, this layer also isn't perfect. Because there are 0 days vulnerabilities, there are custom code, there are a lot of things that can happen that your website will be hacked. I mean, weak password. Simple as that. That's why you also need to have a layer which will be more of what to do if everything else fails. Because you do need to know that you have to inform your clients, all the GDPR related things, how to kind of, I don't know, use the backups. In short, you need to have procedures. You have to be prepared before the attack happens. Because let's be honest, asking some lawyers about what should we send to our clients the moment when, well, the milk is already spilled, it's like the worst moment to think about it, especially that, hey, your website was just hacked. It's not just a technical problem, it's also a business problem. Again, with all those GDPRs and everything. So yeah, the more layers, the better. You still need to remember every layer can fail in some place. That's why the more the better.
Would you like to see a standard industry-wide definition of something like a badge or, I don't know, let's say, for example, that you put the word secure hosting on your website, that has to actually stand for something? Because obviously coming from the background that you do with a broad oversight on what that is, you have a vast amount of data at your disposal. You can see all of this kind of stuff. But every company can make the claim that our food is healthy, our hosting is secure. But I don't know, in the model that we've got where any company can put anything they like on a website, I don't really know how you do that. But some sort of accreditation or something, I don't know.
Honestly, it's really difficult because, as I said before, a lot of companies using the same tools were failing in different ways.
Yes.
So that's a problem. On the other hand, like sometimes the those stupid things like weak passwords. And it doesn't matter that you had a, let's call it a certified secure hosting. You still failed because your password was weak.
Yeah, okay.
So also certificates like this can backfire because some people might think, I have a secure hosting. I don't have to worry about things. And then you have 10 admin accounts for everyone.
Is there something, some mark of that description that you personally, that you go looking for though? Is there some credentialing system which you think actually does carry some weight? So for example, I don't know, like the insurance space or the accountancy space or something like that, you have to have that accreditation in order to do business. Is there something like that? Is there a mark which hosting companies can apply for, which you could have some confidence in it?
Okay, so for sure, one of those things would be, and I don't want to say it as an advertisement, but it is kind of a thing that you see that the hosting is thinking a bit better about security, kind of looking if they are a patch tech partner. Because this kind of automatically means that they do have this WordPress, the security WordPress layer. So that's already a good sign. So yeah, I would start with this. I think that's kind of one of the simplest way. But again, PatchTech isn't the only solution that does it. So kind of looking for partners of such companies might be the best way to start because having those PatchTech aware security solutions built in into the hosting, it's a really good sign.
Yeah, okay. Now, the inevitable conversation in the year 2026 is AI. It doesn't matter which area of WordPress you're talking about, AI manages to get in somewhere. I'm presuming that the landscape in terms of security only got more complicated because of AI, because I'm imagining that attacks that needed to be conceived by a human can now be conceived in a fraction of the time by an AI agent, but not just one, maybe a dozen or a thousand or whatever it may be. Let's just talk about that for a moment. It feels almost as if AI and security are like, that's a real systemic problem for the future of the entire industry, because these things can happen so fast. A plugin vulnerability is discovered by an AI agent. It then discovers the attack surface, implements the attack all in a matter of seconds, possibly. What's the position? Like, how do we stay calm, basically, in the year 2026?
So the problem already existed around a year ago, because a year ago when we did our State of WordPress Security report, we already saw that vulnerabilities are being used after around 5 hours after kind of being published. So 5 hours, that's the first thing, because we still have a lot of people that say, yeah, just update your WordPress weekly and you're good to go. No, you're not. Looking at this number, you have 5 hours.
Okay, let's just pause that in a moment. So the vulnerability is published. So there's a whole thing there. Like, the vulnerability may well have been discovered prior to being published. So that's a whole other thing.
So first the vulnerability is discovered, then at least how it works on with our bug bounty. We inform the vendor. They have, let's say, around a month to fix it. When they fix it, we publish everything. And yeah.
Okay, so from the moment you publish, you can then detect that that is being leveraged within a space of 5 hours.
Yes.
Okay, that's really interesting.
But there's a problem. There is a really big problem. So if the vendor doesn't respond, we still publish it.
How long do you give them? Is it like
this is the 1 month.
Okay, 30 days.
A month, yeah. Yeah. Of course, if they reach out that there is some problem, they need like extra days. But in most cases, we're talking about the vendors that just don't respond at all. We publish it anyway. But the problem is that from all the vulnerabilities that were discovered last year, 50% weren't patched at the moment of publishing about it. 50%.
So half of the plugins where there was a known vulnerability, the vendor had been informed, they'd had this 30-day window, half of them made no amendment to their code.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, wow, okay.
Again, going back to this classical, yeah, just update your WordPress regularly. No.
No, that's a really different surface, isn't it?
It doesn't work on so many levels.
Yeah.
Because not only the problem is with the fact that still the famous 5 hours, which also it's 5 hours now, it was much longer a few years ago. On the other hand, yeah, most of those, I mean, around half of it aren't patched. So the attacks will happen quicker than it get patched. So yeah, there's a lot of problems like this. And also the problem with security is that it's really difficult to sell.
It's like insurance, isn't it?
Yeah, but insurance, okay, you see your car, your house, it's real.
Okay.
It's real, you kind of see it. The only category of websites that it's much easier to kind of explain is e-commerce.
Yes, you can feel the tightening on your wallet.
They literally see the money. They can kind of really, okay, 1 hour of my website not working equals this and this zlotys or euros or whatever. So that's easier to explain. But for most people, yeah, security.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you mentioned about this survey, you mentioned that fully 80% of your penetration testing resulted in something. What were the sort of the high level items apart from that 80% figure? What were some of the other, because you said there were a few interesting things that dropped out of it. Can you mention anything else?
So like I said, one of the things was that we learned that despite using the same tools, we got different results. That was also a surprise for us.
So let's just figure that out. So a hosting company A, we've got a WordPress website with the same collection of plugins in. Hosting company B, exactly the same as far as you can make it the same. Things are different, so...
No, they are, for example, they are using for security the same tools.
Right, okay.
So, in theory, if they're using the same tools, we should have exactly the same results.
So does that then point to a different set of configurations on the back end, or is it more curious than that, you just don't quite know what's going on?
I mean, because it's not something that they will tell us. But yeah, in most cases, it's all about configuration, because the fact that you are using a tool, it's also important how you use a tool. Also, with security, it's very often about, is something easy to use or is something secure? And kind of finding the balance. So some of the companies probably had a bit more aggressive configuration, which is better from the security point of view, but probably more often results in some annoying side effects for the user. Also what, this was one of the most interesting things, but also what was very interesting, because we contacted every company afterwards and we informed them that we did the test. Here are the results, what went through, what was blocked. And some of the companies did an amazing job of fixing whatever they could. On the other hand, we saw that some of the companies, because we did some extra tests later just to check what they did with our reports, did nothing. That's one of the things about security in general, not about the hosting, about even having vulnerability in your plugin. That's normal that we make mistakes. We're humans, right? So that's normal. What's important is how we deal with them. If you have a problem and you fix it as quickly as possible, as good as possible, that's great, because you learn from your mistakes, you fix it, and you move on. Perfect. Good job. Now you are in a much better position than before. But if you get this, you look at it and you say, this is fine. That's the worst behavior from the security point of view that you can have.
I'm going to ask you not to name names here, but were some of the companies familiar to us?
For sure, because we did test the biggest one. But there is a reason why we didn't want to name it. And it wasn't about that we were afraid that, I know, someone will get mad or whatever. It was more about this weird side effect that could happen. Some users would think, my house link isn't on this list, so probably I'm secure. Probably you're not, you just weren't in the test. Because we also did some site checks and everything, and we saw that a lot of those problems happen at most of the hosting company. And like I said, the more important part was how did they react after getting the report. Like I said, it was a more common problem that we even thought.
Do you, obviously, you know, caveat all of this with the fact that you work for PatchStack and what have you, do you see it even as the role of a hosting company to have any position on security publicly? Or would you prefer them not to make grand claims about things that you believe they can't necessarily substantiate? I don't really know where I'm going with that question, but I'm just wondering if there's just a sense that the language that's being used is too strong. You know, secure hosting implies we've got all the padlocks and the padlocks are there and you've got nothing to worry about. You found a different picture. So I'm just wondering whether or not you would just prefer that the hosting companies stop talking about this altogether.
I do think that's one of the biggest problems here is about the claims, the bold claims, the whole marketing around it. Sometimes even you can find in documentation of some of them that, you don't need to install any third-party tool because we got you covered. We checked it. No, they didn't. So that's kind of the problem. It's really more about the how they market it. If they would say, okay, so we have a really performant hosting that does this, this, and this. When it comes to security, kind of do it yourself. I mean, we are providing this layer, but the rest is up to you. And that's okay. That's an honest claim. We're not doing everything for you. We're doing this part, but this is up to you. This would be much better. I know that from the marketing point of view, it doesn't sound that good as we got all the security that you can imagine. Don't have to worry about this. Because that's kind of the thing that very often managed hosts trying to sell, that you don't have to worry about things. You just have to focus on whatever you have, writing content, selling stuff, if you have an e-commerce, whatever. That's it. That's kind of the only thing you should think of. Not about performance, because we got your back. Not about security, again, we got your back. And if you are paying for a managed hosting and suddenly they would start having like this different way of messaging to, it's not that obvious that we have your back in everything, that would be very difficult for you. So now it's kind of the problem that because everyone is kind of using this messaging, everyone else also has to. And also if we think about how a lot of those algorithms look like, that algorithms love bold claims. They want something white or black, not gray. And the truth is, most of the things we are talking about, doesn't matter security, SEO, performance, it's everything in the gray zone. That's why a lot of developers can end their talk with, yeah, it depends. There is no right or wrong. It depends, because there are so many things you have to think about. I could say that, and this is kind of my thing, that most of the websites that people have should be static. They don't need even WordPress at all. This is a horrible claim if you are a managed WordPress hosting, right? So that's the thing. But it all depends on so many things. But yeah, the messaging is important.
Yeah, if you were on a personal level, if you were going out there looking, and let's say if you can somehow put your job hat to one side, what would be the kind of things that you would be looking for? What questions would you be asking related to security if you were to be going to these companies? From everything that you said, obviously it's not black, it's not white, it's definitely gray. So every setup has some way of being vulnerable. But what are the kind of intelligent questions that you would be bringing to hosts to get some reassurance that at least they appear to know what they're doing, even if they can't make the claim that they're 100% cast iron watertight? What might be some intelligent questions to start asking?
One of the best questions you can ask is just, is there any solution in your security stack that is WordPress aware, not the general one? Because if they only start talking about some web firewall, things like this, it's already kind of a red flag, because this is overall, if we're talking about firewalls, that's not the correct layer about which, this is the generic one. So this is the main question. How do you take care of WordPress specific attacks? Simple question. And if they will start responding, yeah, that we have this web application firewall, that in most cases, this will be a sign that no, we are not talking about the correct layer. That's not it. It's probably not aware about what is happening in WordPress.
Okay, so given that this is a WordPress podcast and we're at a WordPress event, that would be the beginning of your questioning, is demonstrate that something in your stack is specific to WordPress.
Exactly.
Okay, and beyond that, is there any questions that... So let's imagine that they come back with, yes, we have something specific, it's WordPress. What would be sort of sensible follow-up questions? What kind of things...
I mean, you can kind of start about, okay, what exactly you are using? Because there is a limited amount of tools that are really WordPress aware. So if they will answer with kind of a product name, that's kind of the easy way that then you can check it on your own.
Okay.
But that's kind of the thing. Is it WordPress aware?
Does it worry you in some way that there's this perception out there that WordPress is insecure? You know, if you ask a thousand people.
Oh, I know.
You maybe get 800 saying, oh, WordPress, you know, we're not touching that with a barge pole. Do you worry that content like this that you're putting out, that might fuel that fire? Does it concern you in any way that it might lean into the argument that, I don't know, somebody can link to that blog post from a rival CMS or a SaaS platform which does something similar to WordPress? Where do you sit on that?
That's a really difficult question. And this is one of the questions that when I talk on non-WordPress events, I love to ask people, is WordPress secure? And in most cases, I see that most of the room is, yes, it's unsecure for sure. And I'm like, no, that's not true. WordPress is secure. Every year, there is just a few minor vulnerabilities in core. That's it. The problem is, of course, that WordPress on its own lacks some functionality. That's why we install plugins. And here we enter another problem. Because, okay, every year we have like thousands of those vulnerabilities in general in plugins. On the other hand, we have thousands of plugins. So kind of statistics will always look bad. But that's why every time when you want to select a new plugin, you need to do some research. Yeah, I know it's boring and everything, but hey, now we have AI. You can do it much quicker. It can help you a lot. But looking at all those databases, for example, we have one database, WPScan has. There are those databases of WordPress vulnerabilities that occur to every plugin. And you can see, is the plugin you're interested in had a lot of vulnerabilities? On the other hand, how it kind of looked historically. It's not just about the number of them. In general, it requires some research. And yeah, if we're just like looking at this and this kind of vibe that right now we have, that we are just about really bold opinions stated quickly that will fit one TikTok. Yeah, WordPress is in a horrible position because, let's be honest, it's like if you have, I'm not sure how many seconds does a TikTok movie has.
I think 30.
Okay, let's say 30. So it will sound much better that you will say, yeah, WordPress is insecure, which is not entirely true, because it depends. Again, one of the most boring, especially again for those algorithms and everything, is a gray zone. Because we are collaborating with a lot of companies that are making plugins, and we see how their security flow looks like, how they are dealing with vulnerabilities that are discovered. And honestly, I'm amazed how well some of those companies are doing it. They are very serious about it. They understand how important it is. For them, it's something very important.
I suppose WordPress is a victim of its own success in that sense. And it would be a bit like, I guess a good analogy might be, if you've got a car manufacturer and they produce 1,000 cars a year, and you compare them to Ford, who make, let's say, I don't know, 20 million a year. And the question is, well, whose cars break down more often?
Yeah, do we look at the percentage of
number? And if you say, well, 400,000 Fords broke down last year and one of these other manufacturers, you can immediately see why there's a problem there. And that, I think, is the landscape in which WordPress is often painted. The reason there's lots of publications like yours bringing out WordPress information is because it's the most popular thing. It makes sense to write about the most popular thing and to try to find the vulnerabilities and disclose them in a sensible way. So I don't know what we do with that. It is just the way it is.
I would also say there is one more interesting aspect, because WordPress is considered insecure because of the plugins. But what's funny, for example, Elementor is also considered insecure because there are plugins for Elementor. And this is a very weird moment when the thing that brought WordPress to its bigger success, security-wise, is its biggest problem right now.
Right. That's,
because WordPress did a lot of... I mean, it was always great to being as this kind of, let's call it, entry-level CMS. For many people, it was also the way how they began their adventure with PHP development, because it was so easy. Now we kind of have all the consequences of being that easy.
Yeah, in a sense, this is going to sound ridiculous. We should be glad that there's people talking about WordPress vulnerabilities, because it means the project is successful. And it also means that there's an industry of WordPress security solutions. And there are people who take this very seriously and dedicate their lives to it. And you may not find that in some of these other ones, you know, some of the smaller CMSs and things like that. I think we probably hit about the sweet spot for the amount of time. But Maciek, I don't know if there was anything in that report that you have got lined up in your presentation that I never got to, if there was a particular thread that you wanted to pull. If there is, go for it.
I think we covered all the important things.
Okay.
And as you kind of said, this AI aspect, this will change so many things.
Yeah, we'll come back in 2 years and this conversation will be a very
different... Oh, I think even in a few months,
yeah,
it will be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this aspect is really very surprising, and I think that everyone who is right now kind of giving somewhere a talk about AI and security is in a very difficult spot. Because,
yeah, your content's going to look
stale. Yeah, because you know it's like,
quickly.
Okay, but a week ago everything changed.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I have to rewrite everything.
Well, speaking of which, by the time that this goes out, hopefully you have managed to give out your presentation at WordCamp Europe. I will link to it and anything else that we've mentioned today in the WP Tavern post, so go and check that out. But I will specifically link to the WordPress.tv version of your presentation, which no doubt will have been created by then. So, Maciek, thank you for chatting to me today. Good luck. I hope your presentation
goes
well.
Thank you so much, yes. I might need a bit because, you know, it's WordCamp Europe. It's a big conference.
It is a big conference. Yeah, good luck. I hope that you manage to stay calm.
Thank you.